Welcome to the Harvest USA podcast, where we offer the transformative hope of the gospel to those impacted by sexual sin. Our passion is to equip the church to think biblically about God's design for sexuality, repentance, and life in Christ.
Well, hey, everybody. I am really excited today to welcome back a dear brother who I served with for my first 12 or 13 years on staff here at Harvest, Dave White. We were kind of peer colleagues as director of women's ministry, director of men's ministry, and then Dave left. I'll let him tell you what he's been doing. And as sad as we were to see him go, we were all also really encouraged for the gifts that God's given to Dave to be able to be focused now in a local church context. So, Dave, it's really good to see you. And yeah, why don't you just kind of reintroduce yourself for people that don't know you and what you've been doing since 2019.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I have been at Springton Lake Presbyterian Church of September of 2019. I loved my work at Harvest. It was really hard to leave the ministry, and I still honestly miss it a lot. I miss the staff camaraderie that we had, that I was really serving with people who were brothers and sisters, who we bore one another's burdens and loved each other in that context. And so miss you guys a lot. And the good coffee. Yeah, there's a Keurig in the hallway. It's terrible. I drink my coffee. I bring coffee from home, actually. Okay. So I was brought on 5 years ago, really as part of a transition plan. Our senior pastor was looking towards retirement. And so he stepped down, actually, from his role of senior pastor the end of 23. So I've been in the senior pastor role for coming up on 4 months now.
Which is so great. Like Dave, I want to just kind of, I mean, I'm going to be talking to you, but I also want to speak to our audiences. Dave and I served very closely together in our director roles, but then also we co-taught many, many seminars. Like I taught with Dave probably more than any other staff person. And Dave really mentored me a lot into my position with his pastoral heart, but also his teaching gifts. So truly, I am very thankful for your impact and influence on my life, brother, and on my ministry. And I'm very excited that we have this book as a part of Harvest USA's menu of resources, God, You, and Sex, A Profound Mystery. And this is really what we want to talk about today. Some of you have maybe noticed that we have been, when we have a fifth Friday, we want to just give you an overview of some of the resources we have. And this is a book, Dave, I know that had been on your heart for many years to write. So maybe just explain what the book is and why you felt so compelled to write it.
Sure. So the desire to write the book started after I had been at Harvest for a number of years, largely because so much of the teaching we were doing was addressing all the broken sexuality and culture, and we were missing the positive, you know, God's design for sexuality. God's the inventor of sex. So I felt like we weren't talking positively enough. So that was really kind of the kernel of the idea, was wanting to provide basically a positive theology of sexuality. So over the course of those years, it took a number of years to come to fruition. There was a lot of books, Christian books, that started being written. So there's a bit of a vacuum to begin with, but then there's obviously a number of Christian books that have been written before I even started the project. But I still felt like I had something to add, which is alluded to in the subtitle, A Profound Mystery. You know, I'm taking that from Ephesians 5:32, where Paul says, you know, talking to husbands and wives, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and his church. And what I felt was missing from most Christian books on sexuality was the Godward focused, that the whole point of marriage is that we would have an illustration in this world of what our union in the new heavens and new earth will be with Jesus, right? The eternity begins with a wedding feast in Revelation 19. And so I really wanted to write a book that was getting at that idea, that understood the call to God's design flowing from our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and you know, for people that haven't heard or of Dave's book yet, I want to just tell you some of the chapter titles: Sex and God, God is Our Lover, The Profound Mystery of Sex, which Dave just talked about. But then these are things that we don't often hear talked about. And then I want to ask you a question about this in a minute, Dave. But one of the chapters is Sexual Pleasures Reveals a God of Delight. Sex is about serving each other. And then there's also a chapter on single sexuality, which is, I think, excellent to have that in there. But this idea of how sex in marriage is meant to point beyond itself in so many ways is so significant. And in your ministry here, I'm sure just in your ministry as a pastor and in my years of ministry to women, you and I both heard horrific stories of couples and, you know, in my context with wives who had been taught just horrible things about sex, horrible things about what this meant for them as a wife in marriage. And so I want to just ask you to speak to that of how does God, you and sex seek to both comfort and disciple, but also challenge and exhort believers about how we are understanding and actually living out God's design in this area. And I'd love for you to kind of speak into that specifically to marriages that have been really broken, not only by adultery, pornography, but in the sexual relationship itself between
Yeah.
husband and wife. So that's a mouthful, but you're used to that from me. So.
Sure. So, I mean, I think there's problems within American Christendom on kind of both sides of the spectrum, because on one side, you have a generation that grew up in the purity movement. You know, they were wearing their purity rings, the, you know, I kiss dating goodbye kind of thing, where there was a lot of, I would say, shame-based teaching about sexuality that really affected. So I see that in the local church context now more than I did even at Harvest, although I was getting some sense of it at Harvest, that, you know, a generation of folks, let's say maybe under 40 or 35, who were raised in Christian homes in that movement, who came into marriage where the messages had been so negative about sexuality that once they entered in, there was an inability to really experience the joy and abandon that I would say God would have for them. On the other side of the spectrum, you've got people within the American church who have been profoundly impacted by secular views of sexuality, where kind of pleasure is the ultimate and the most pleasure you can get. And that is often going to take us in illicit kind of directions. They needed a corrective as well. And I think on both sides, the real corrective is the gospel. In what ways is a sex the sexual expression between a husband and a wife reflecting who Jesus is and what he's done as the one who came to serve and to bless, to lift up the other, to lay down his life. So, you know, you're talking about experiences with wives that maybe have felt very oppressed. You know, both of us have heard examples of Hebrews 13 being really twisted, you know, let the marriage bed be honored by all. And I think that has been used in some context for an any, you know, no holds barred. You can do whatever you want. The marriage bed is holy. It's okay. But, you know, that anything, as long as you're married, it's okay. And I think that's where the gospel provides a real corrective. So one example, I remember being on staff when the whole 50 Shades phenomenon was happening. And there were lots of Christians who I think got pulled along into that. And that's, you know, I'll just use that as a case study. How can bondage between a husband and a wife, regardless of who is the one being oppressed in that context, that is a total mockery of the one who came to set captives free. You know, that is not reflecting the gospel. That's reflecting the oppression and brokenness and curse of this world. Whereas, you know, Jesus wants us to know freedom and life and joy and fullness in him. So that's just one example. But I think there's ways that a husband and a wife should always be asking, is this an expression of the joy and delight and abandon that Jesus, the fullness that Jesus came, that we would have life and have it to the full? Are we expressing that with one another?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're describing, you know, one of the reasons why I think your book is so powerful and really why it's been, it's being used in the lives of so many people. Like, we get feedback of that consistently, including from people that say, I've never been taught this kind of a biblical view that's so beautiful and gives hope, even if there has been brokenness in a person's life. And so, and you know, you wrote it out of your immersion in the scriptures and your immersion in the lives of people. And so in light of that, I'd love to just hear you share, you know, you were involved in kind of pastoral type of work, even when you were on staff at Harvest as an ordained minister. But what have you been seeing, you know, since you've been in a full-time pastoral role in a local church setting, and you have ties to the denomination you serve with? Like, what are you seeing as far as, you know, why this type kind of teaching is needed? And, you know, I know it can feel awkward. We're pushing the merch here, but we're basically wanting to promote a biblical Christ-centered view, and we believe this book does it. But what are you seeing, like, as a pastor at street level, and even including among pastoral brothers, of why does the church need to be taught about this?
Yeah. Well, so I was at Harvest from May of 2000 to August of 2019. Mm. And over those 19 years, I saw the sexual revolution in the church, right? So the sexual revolution culturally was long past, although it keeps, you know, trying to take more ground. But I really saw a sea change in the church of views, particularly LGBTQ stuff. Where when I first came on staff, I was going to conservative churches, you know, trying to urge these members, you know what? They're sinners just like you. You know, how does your own understanding of the gospel enable you to love that gay coworker or neighbor or extended family member? Because you realize, you know, such were some of you. That list in 1 Corinthians 6 has things that describe you as much as it describes them, and you've been delivered. So it went from trying to urge Christians to not have a self-righteous judgmental attitude to now, you know, when I left there almost 20 years later, the attitude of people in the pews had changed significantly. So even here in this context, you know, I didn't talk about sex probably for a year because I didn't want to be that guy. Like, that's all he knows. But I've started now kind of getting, you know, addressing some of these issues. And as I've talked about issues of transgender, as I've talked about, you know, homosexual relationships, I've experienced some pushback from folks. I'm not sure that I agree with you on that. I don't know that's correct. So I actually did a series, evening series last fall, to just get our people together, anybody who was interested, who was wrestling with these issues, to talk through these things. And it was like a Tuesday night or something.
Okay, great.
So, because I think that's where the change has happened. So it really, people have been influenced far more by the culture at this point than they are by the scriptures.
Yeah, well, we continue to see that, you know, more and more as we're out and about teaching. So thanks, Dave. We could keep on chatting, but I'm going to close this up. So again, Dave's book, actually, this is one of two books he wrote for us, God, You, and Sex. The other book is called Sexual Sanity for Men. And that would be great for any of the brothers that are watching this that are struggling themselves. And we also have a book called Sexual Sanity for Women. And there's follow-up curricula on our website for both women and men, wives and parents that are free to download as a PDF. So would encourage anybody to check those out. So Dave, thank you so much. We are so encouraged that you're in a pastoral role, and we miss having you around here. But thanks for taking some time to chat with us, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks. Miss you guys too. Appreciate the opportunity.